Today's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, David. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy Epiphany. And for those in the Orthodox tradition, today, of course, is Christmas Day, or maybe it's tomorrow, I can't remember. So, having got all that out of the way, what was the first song we sang? It was a carol, wasn't it? Can anyone remember it? It's a long time ago now. It was the beginning of the service, wasn't it? I'm going to put my... There we are. Oh, yes, it was We Three Kings. That was a small hint there, wasn't it? Well, we have probably sung the most misleading carol of all carols this Christmas. Why do I say that? Why do I say that that's a misleading carol? Well, first of all, these people behind me weren't really kings. And when David read the passage to us, what were they called? They were called magi, weren't they? Yes. So that's the first thing that was wrong. And secondly, what's the second thing that's wrong with that title? Three. Yes. We usually say three king or magi because in verse 11, there were three gifts. Can anyone remember what the three gifts were? Gold. I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see hands going up on this side. Can anyone else remember what the other gifts were? What was the second one? It was a gold, myrrh, that's right, Brennan, and the middle one was frankincense, that's right, frankincense. So, but the Bible doesn't actually tell us how many of the magi there were. Sometimes we read the Bible and assume things based on our own ideas and traditions. So before we look any further at this story of the magi, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Christmas break, a chance to recharge our batteries, to spend time with friends, family, and loved ones. Help us focus on today's reading and to worship you so that we can lead our lives in your sight. Amen. So, yes, today's reading is about the visit of the Magi. And it tells us that they came from the east and that they followed a star, a kind of Satnav, isn't it? A star. Yep. And they came to worship the king of the Jews. They thought they were coming to worship. Now then, what is there about a GPS, I wonder, in this next point? Point is, can we be blinded by our own assumptions? So like Purple Paul earlier, that Alexis and Brennan brought us, have we ever ignored our car's sat-nav instructions and later regretted it? Hands up if you've ever set your sat-nav up and then ignored it. Come on, honestly. I'm going to put my glasses on now. So that's a good half of you. Yeah, okay. The rest of you, I'm sure, are just a little bit embarrassed to put your hands up. We may assume that because we've travelled this route so many times before, we can ignore the bossy lady in a box, as my niece used to call our sat-nav. But do you know what? Sat-navs are getting cleverer and cleverer, aren't they? Nowadays, they know about predicting traffic congestion, and they know about road closures, even before the radio knows. And it can be the same when we read the Bible. Sometimes we make assumptions based on our traditions and our culture and what we've done over the years. We do this with the story of the Magi. We always say there were three, but the Bible doesn't say that. It simply says Magi, wise men who came from the east. There could have been two, there could have been five, or more. The number three is simply assumed because there were three gifts. This teaches us our first lesson. We need to be careful not to bring our own ideas into the Bible. The Bible is God's word, and we should let it speak to us, not force our assumptions onto it. So, like a trusted GPS, that's a sat-nav, let's trust God's word without adding our own ideas. After all, that's what the Magi didn't do, and it had unfortunate consequences. Now then, were the Magi misled by their own assumptions about the Messiah? So we've enough about us. Let's have a look at the Magi. Did they make any assumptions, I wonder? They had been told to follow the star right to the very end. But what happened? They disobeyed the sat-nav's instructions. They got within 5 miles of the little town of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, and decided then to reroute to the big city of Jerusalem, with its imposing temple and Herod's palace. Herod was the king of the area. He was the king of the Jews. They failed to follow the star to where it was actually pointing. Now, Jesus' birth wasn't what people expected, but it was part of God's plan. A bit like our palace behind, which I think people might recognize, compared to the favela in a very poor part of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. Now, it's actually possible that these Magi were a little bit dim. They were seeking the newborn king of the Jews. They assumed that the newborn infant would be the son of the current king of the Jews, who was King Herod. Oh, to have been a fly on the wall when Herod told them that there hadn't been a birth in his palace for some time. And then the embarrassing conversation in verse 8. Do you remember? I too want to worship the Messiah. Do tell me when you find him. Yes, of course we will. This teaches us another lesson. Like the Magi, we too can be misled about how and when Jesus will come again. The Magi thought a king would be born in a palace, but God's plan was very different. Jesus came humbly in a manger, not in royal grandeur. Let's have a look at what that might look like today. Imagine I don't know if any of you are, but imagine that you have bought tickets to see your favourite band, Oasis. Bear with me, kids, because mums and dads will remember them, but they popped up again because they've run out of a bit of money. You assume when you buy these tickets that they're going to perform in a huge stadium like Wembley. Now, Wembley Stadium holds 90,000 people. That's a lot of people. But instead, what if the concert were to be held in a small, intimate venue like the Wigmore Hall? Now, the Wigmore Hall, which nobody's heard of, I'm sure, holds just 545 people. Would you be surprised if they appeared in a small venue instead of a big venue? I think I would. And in the same way, God's ways often surprise us. Jesus didn't come in the way people expected, and his second coming may not be what we think either. So, let's have a look at the kernel, the center of this reading, shall we? So I reckon that this is the key verse in all of the words that David brought to us earlier. It's something about worship and generosity following a true encounter with Jesus. So, the Magi's assumptions momentarily misled them, but they eventually got back on course, didn't they? And in verse 11, the Magi finally arrived at the house and saw the Christ child. And their response was immediate. They bowed down and they worshipped him. They recognized this was no ordinary baby. They were in the presence of the King of Kings. Then they offered their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these were gifts not just for a king, but they symbolized worship to a God, and they symbolized generosity. When we come to know Jesus as our personal friend and savior, we have often the same reaction to the Magi. Our hearts are moved to worship him and offer what we have in return. This is not because we feel we have to, but because we want to. Now then, what is the difference between Santa Claus and Jesus? That's a rhetorical question. You don't have to shout it out. Well, I was given this little cartoon by Annie Milton, who is a member of SICAM, a charity that we support in South India, in Chennai. And I thought it was wonderful. So a few of you have probably seen it already, but I love this picture. So the answer to the question, what's the difference between Santa and Jesus, is this. Santa has lots of gifts for everyone who has been good, but Jesus has just one gift, but it's for everyone, irrespective of whether they've been good or bad. This gift is a gift of forgiveness and redemption. Jesus' gifts for us, his life, his death, his resurrection, is greater than any gift we could give in return. But we are moved by his love to offer him our hearts, our time, our talents, and even our material gifts. Let's think about that for a moment. Let's think about giving a gift to someone we love. I was reflecting on my Christmas and New Year this year, because it's changed again. My boys are no longer small and cute and cuddly. They're now in their 20s, and one of them's even turned 30. And they have girlfriends. And the conversation is different. The conversation between one son and his girlfriend was around the subject of engagement rings and the giving of an engagement ring and the implied, well, what do I get in return? That's the heart behind the gifts of the Magi. They were responding to Jesus' greatness. They weren't expecting anything in return, but they knew there would be something, but they weren't sure what. Let's have a little recap. When we approach the Bible, let's ask God to help us to see his truth, free from our own assumptions or cultural ideas. We don't want to miss out on what God is teaching us. And also, sometimes we expect God to work in grand and dramatic ways, but he often works in small and quiet moments. So let's be open to God's surprises and not be deceived by our own expectations of how he should act. Now then. It's New Year's resolution time, folks. Let's think about the gifts that the Magi give. And perhaps we can take our lead from that and think about one thing that we would like to give Jesus in 2025. It could be a gift of time, of kindness, or of service. Perhaps later as a family, or as a couple, or even on our own, we can pray and thank Jesus for the gift of his life and the chance that we have to offer him our gifts. But let's not be blinded by assumptions or expectations. Let's allow Jesus to surprise us and guide us. And when we do encounter him, let's respond as the Magi did and worship, with generosity and a heart full of love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the incredible gift of your life. Help us to see you clearly without our own assumptions clouding the view. We want to worship you and offer our lives as gifts of love. Guide us, we pray, to follow you faithfully and generously. In your name, amen.